Mark in the Morning comes to you from the studios of 100.3 The Sound in Los Angeles. In Southern California, hear it happen live without a net from 6 to 10 a.m. weekdays on 100.3 FM.
Yes. Let's kick it up with a little Jackson action. Well, what do you say we put us on a radio show today? The 4th is Monday. How much do we consume on that one day? Liquor and food. I'll detail it.
Let's dance, let's shout.
Ow!
Shake your body now to the ground. Let's dance, let's shout.
Who is the highest grossing actress of all time? Think about it.
Is it adjusted for inflation?
No.
Okay, so it won't be like Hedy Lamarr or something.
No.
Gotcha. Okay.
No. Kids apparently can use a smartphone, but they can't ride a bike or swim.
Oh, sad.
Is it possible, and I know the story has been around, but it's about to move to trial. Is it possible that a parrot could testify in a murder trial? I'll detail it. A guy likes to hide under cars so that he can reach out and grab women's feet.
No.
Yes.
Can you imagine? That's not okay. That's not okay.
It's a thing.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's completely not okay, but it is a thing for him. He's gotten in trouble for it before.
You think? Are you sure?
Sal guides us through the world of classic rock news. It's Jackie's Throwback Thursday. Each day this week, I've been giving you bad songs recorded by great artists. Five more today, the last five tomorrow, and both today and tomorrow, Mikey will not be happy. I'm looking to hear his comments.
Is anything going to be better than Aerosmith's Hey Face, Meet My Fist, or whatever that was called?
Not three, not four, not even five. Six reasons today doesn't suck. And Gina has received an email that she's told me about. We're going to get into that. Are you licking a cat today?
No, tomorrow. Got my tongue right here.
Yeah, for somebody who just tuned in, are you licking a cat today?
That'll be in 24 hours.
And what is the saddest song ever?
Oh.
There is a definitive answer. All of it will be revealed. This is Mark in the Morning. All right, let's just get into it. What is the saddest song of all time? There are some runners up, but there is a definitive answer to this question. The saddest song of all time.
What am I gonna do to make you love me?
I have always loved this song by Elton John.
What am I gonna do to make you care?
And while you ponder this, Gina.
Yeah.
Last night, we were going to blow up this floating living room that I've got for the 4th of July for the kids to come out and, you know, get out there and like that. We're going to do it at 4. We were rain delayed by a massive thunderstorm.
Oh, no.
So we didn't get out there until 6 or after. And I underestimated this thing. It kicked my ass. I did more sweating trying to get this thing blown up. But it's blown up. And it's in the lake.
We're talking about the floating living room that you purchased from Costco.
That is correct.
Oh, my. And you didn't even underestimate. You said this was going to be a huge job and you were going to have to pull it with a rope. And it was worse than that?
Well, I did one of those things, you know, where my intentions are good.
Sure.
And it gets screwed up. So the idea was that we were going to fill it up on the beach, attach a rope, and then pull it to the pier. The problem with the beach, number one, we would be standing in the sun and it was already hot enough. And then two, I need it to be on the left side of the pier, not the right. So my idea was to take the rope that we bought. And by the way, there's a story there and I can't wait to share it. Take the rope, throw it over the roof of the pier enclosure, and then drag the rope over to the left side so we could do the floating living room inflation in the shade of the only tree we've got, and then pull it to the left side. Problem was, there was a nail sticking out of the roof,
uh-huh.
And the rope got caught on that.
Oh,
I had
no.
to climb up
No.
And it was 100 degrees. I had to climb up and free the rope. But we got it done. So, got it done.
This is starting to sound an awful lot like work.
Oh, it turned into work.
Yeah.
I was worried about not getting my workout yesterday. I sweated pounds off of my body trying to do this. Anyway, the video is up on Facebook Live on Mark in the Morning Facebook, so go check it out. All right, Gina, any answers on what is the saddest song of all time?
Well, I got to tell you, the first one that comes to mind, I can't believe you don't think is the saddest song. I can hardly listen to it. Eleanor Rigby.
Oh.
Really?
I don't listen to lyrics.
What?
Yeah, all the lonely people. Yeah.
She died alone and nobody came to the funeral and all the lonely people. You guys are insane.
Can we take a guess?
Yes, please.
Oh, Jackie's whispering.
All by myself.
Yeah, that's what
Eric Carmen.
Pick.
But that song's hilarious. I have a friend who told me in high school when a girl would break up with him, he would play that song in his car and try and make himself cry. So I can't take that song seriously at all.
Do you know, and because of the fact that I don't listen to lyrics, I was driving to work, this is 10 years ago, and it was during December, and I was listening to the song I'll Be Home for Christmas. And for the first time, I was actually listening to the lyrics of it. This again was just 10 years ago. I've heard that song my entire life. I then just now realized that the dude's not really going home.
Yeah, he's probably in a foxhole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at that point, I thought, pretty great song. Well done.
And how many, this is coming up on 6 decades before you realize this?
Right.
Okay.
I really should start listening to lyrics.
That'd be great, yeah.
They're pretty good. I just like the melody. If I like a song, I like it. I don't listen to the words.
Wait a second. So if your theory stands true, when you had kids, were you just singing all kinds of crazy stuff that they shouldn't have been listening to? Because you don't listen to lyrics. Like Ludacris What's Your
probably,
Fantasy? Okay.
Probably.
Gotcha.
But we never had issue. I mean, the kids, Linda and I were in the kitchen making dinner, throwing F-bombs, and they're two.
I forgot what I was talking about.
Yeah, not a real good relationship. All right, so we'll consider, we'll continue this. In fact, we may even open the phones. Jackie, 888-696-1003. What is the saddest song of all time? 888-696-1003. All right, so the topic that we're on, what is the saddest song ever? There is a definitive answer. Let's go to Ed. He's calling from Ontario. Ed, what is the saddest song for you?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Arguably, Mark, I would have to say the saddest song is Tears in Heaven by Eric Clapton.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I that has to be in the conversation. That song didn't make the list, but yeah, you can't go far without that being part of the conversation. Let's go to Marcus. He's calling from Pismo. Good morning, Marcus.
Good morning.
Saddest song for you?
Elvis Presley's Don't Cry Daddy.
So good.
I don't know if I've ever heard this.
Oh, well, this is one of the times I did listen to the lyrics.
The one time?
Yeah. His wife left him and the kids. Left. And he's sitting there looking at his coffee crying, and the kids are saying, "Don't cry, Daddy." Now, I need to make an adjustment then. So because of these two answers, and this one would be an example of that. Instead of sad, what is the greatest heartbreak song of all time?
Oh, interesting.
That may guide you in a different direction.
I was going to say, with this Elvis song, I think we have to put Dolly back on the list, Me and Little Andy. That'll get you right where you live.
Now, the name soon to be heard around the universe is Mr. Mike TV. You love to watch TV, Mike?
You bet.
Yeah, I do. Enough with all this sadness. Let's get some funny here. Here's Conan O'Brien, a little bit of his monologue last night. He was really funny, and he was very bipartisan. So here we go.
Donald Trump appears to be softening some of his anti-immigration views lately. Yeah? So it sounds to me like someone's shopping for a new wife. It's okay with it. Today, Democrats said that the committee investigating Hillary Clinton's involvement with Benghazi was a witch hunt. Yeah. Hillary tried to respond. Just then a house fell on her. Yeah.
He's being fair. He's getting both sides.
A new porn site is donating a penny to charity each time someone watches one of their porn videos. Yeah, a penny to charity.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So finally, a reason to watch porn, right? You think what I'm thinking? What are you doing, honey? I'm helping the world. I'll be 4 more hours.
There you go. There's your mic.
Sit, boo boo, sit. Good dog.
So the topic we have going, and in the business we call it full phones. Phones are packed. What is the greatest heartbreak song of all time? We go to Fred. He's calling from Hemet. Hey, Fred.
Hey, Mark. Good morning. Happy Thursday.
Same to you, my friend.
I'm going to throw out there Sticks, Babe. And then another one, let's go way back in your time, Bobby Goldsboro, Honey.
Oh, dude, that is old school heartbreak right there.
I'm going to need a little more information on those.
She died.
Okay.
Yeah, Honey didn't make it.
Oh, so sorry, Honey. R.I.P., Honey.
Brush the snow away.
Yeah, that is great. I'm going to have to dig that one up. Let's go to Paul. He's calling from Whittier. Paul, greatest heartbreak song of all time.
Well, I don't know about heartbreak, but, I mean, it always makes me cry. It's the one you showed us a couple months ago, 7 Years by Lucas Graham.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. By the end of it, it gets me a little misty-eyed. Mm-hmm.
This is a classic piece of writing right here.
Yeah.
Once I was 7 years old. All right, let's go to Corey calling from Anaheim. Corey, the greatest heartbreak song of all time.
Greatest heartbreak song I could come up with. Reba McEntire. I think his name is John.
Oh my God, I thought I was the only person who knew that song.
I only thought of that because you brought up Dolly Parton.
Oh, Corey, that song's amazing! Mark, have you heard this song?
I have not.
Okay, Corey, correct me if I'm wrong, because I literally haven't heard this song in over 20 years, but didn't she maybe get AIDS or something?
She got AIDS from a one-night stand she fell in love with, and he disappeared on her.
And she thinks his name is John.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a rough one.
She keeps repeating, and every time she does it, she gets sadder. By
Corey.
The way, long-time listener, first-time caller. I love you guys.
Corey, love you too, Corey. Win. Thank you. Let's go to Christy from Lompoc. Christy, greatest heartbreak song of all time.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Really good, Christy. How are you?
Good. I'm great. So before I give you my saddest song, we both have sons getting married this summer, correct?
Oh, yeah. Well, Matt's getting married in November.
Okay. My son's getting married in July.
Congratulations.
Yes. I say let's bet on who gets grandkids first.
She seems pretty confident.
Because I am just as desperate as you are and Linda is for those grandbabies.
I'll bet you a dollar I'm first.
You got it. We're on.
So, Christy, what is the greatest heartbreak song for you?
Well, I tell you, this is an old song, and every time it comes on, I get choked up, and especially being a parent now, it's even worse. Cat in the Cradle has got to be there.
So, yeah, that's really great. I finally realized my son is
so
just
sad.
Like me.
Oh, Christy must have loved our Father's Day frenzy.
All right, here's your honorable mentions, and I've heard of none of these. After the Storm, Mumford and Sons.
Mm-hmm.
Cosmic Love, Florence and the Machine.
Mm-hmm.
This Year's Love, David Gray.
Mm-hmm.
Not Like the Movies, Katy Perry.
Mm-hmm.
And All I Could Do Was Cry, Etta James.
Yes.
Here is the winner, the definitive heartbreak song of all time. Bonnie Raitt, I Can't Make You Love Me. You know, one of the reasons this song resounds with me is that, and we all learned it as we're growing up, you have a crush on somebody, but they don't feel the same way about you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried with various relationships to make them dig me, and you can't. No money, no words, no matter what, you can't make somebody like you back. And that's unfair, isn't it? Because you really have a hard crush on somebody and they just don't give a crap about
it. This is getting uncomfortable. Mark, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I'll try to like you more tomorrow.
The world is trending whether you follow it or not. Here's Gina to keep you up to date.
Well, apparently new colors are still being discovered. Chemists at Oregon State University have found a brilliant blue pigment named YLNMN, or Yolmun, after the elements it's made from, yttrium, indium, and manganese. Wow, I really need to go back to school. Well, we actually have the color up on Mark in the Morning Facebook so you can see it yourself. It is pretty amazing. Facebook is changing its algorithm so that you can see more posts from your friends and less posts from brands and new websites. And here's what's trending in sports. The Brewers annihilated the Dodgers last night, 7-0. But jeez, they have a chance to redeem themselves. That's happening today at 11:10. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, rock reporter Sal Cervincione reveals which short rocker is ending his very long career. Thank you very much. But first, the Pretenders. This is Mark in the Morning.
We are now joined by Sal Cervincione, senior editor for Premier Radio News and Prep. And as Gina was promoting, teasing this, what short rocker may be stepping away? Good morning, Sal.
From his long career.
From his very long career. Well, Paul Simon is kind of hinting at retirement. He hasn't come right out and said it, but if you missed him this spring and summer here in the U.S., it could have been your last chance. He tells the New York Times, it's an act of courage to let go. I'm going to see what happens if I let go. Then I'm going to see, who am I? Or am I just this person that was defined by what I did? And if that's gone, if you have to make up yourself, who are you? So his plan is that he is performing in his hometown of Queens, New York tonight and tomorrow night. He'll then tour Europe in the fall. And he says after that, he looks to travel for a year, perhaps with his wife, Edie Brickell, if her schedule allows.
So, Paul just needs to smoke some pot. He'll be fine.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, again, he's playing in the fall in Europe. If you didn't get a chance to see him now, and if it is going to be his last go-around, then you want to go check him out. His last date that he has scheduled is November 21st in Dublin, Ireland. And speaking of the UK, Eric Clapton is our next little topic here. Tomorrow, he delivers Crossroads Revisited selections from the Crossroads Guitar Festival. He has held this festival 4 times officially. There was a 5th one that wasn't quite referred to as the Guitar Festival. But highlights, 41 tracks in all will make up this compilation that is coming out tomorrow. Numerous configurations, including CD, DVD, Blu-ray, digitally. The list of artists who join him on this release are Jeff Beck, Gary Clark Jr., ZZ Top, Buddy Guy, B.B. King, John Mayer, Carlos Santana, Joel Walsh, Steve Winwood, Ronnie Wood, everybody and anybody who's ever played these guitar festivals. And during one of my sit-downs with Clapton, he explained his thought process behind putting together these shows.
I think it needs to be incredibly eclectic, because that's the way I look at music. You know, even the guitar has so many different faces, so... And it shouldn't just be a blues festival or anything. I mean, it needs to be every aspect of the guitar.
All right, and Kiss is going back on the road. And although they are not playing California this time out, I could not pass up the chance to toss in a quote from Gene Simmons, who right now is going to tell us all about their Freedom to Rock tour, which starts on Monday in Tucson, Arizona.
We're going to bring the whole gargantua big show to you. All of it, bells, whistles, everything. We're going to shake the heavens, blow the roof off, and we're going to be coming to you. And so instead of just coming into your town and making life easier for you, let's all remind ourselves that were it not for the grace of God or other goodwill, we would be in countries where we wouldn't be allowed to do that. So Freedom to Rock, you know, you take it for granted, we don't.
We should just have a Gene Simmons bite every day.
Yes!
I told him, keep talking, because I've got so many great clips from you.
This is true. And again, it's the Kiss Freedom to Rock Tour. It's mostly playing Middle America, very small to medium markets, such as Kennewick, Washington, Bozeman, Montana, Independence, Missouri, and Mankato, Minnesota. Again, it starts on Monday, Tucson, Arizona, which is not too far from the L.A. area if you wanted to head down. And it runs until September 10th in Huntington, West Virginia. And seeing as how John Ross Bowie filled in for Gina this week, I will end by saying from Premier Radio Networks, this is Sal Cervincione. Bazinga.
So now, earlier this morning, we were talking about the biggest heartbreak song. And I went outside, I was talking to Linda, and Linda said, well, my favorite is Christmas Shoes. Have you heard it, Gina?
I have never actually heard Christmas Shoes.
All right. I'm going to find some time today to share a little bit of it with you.
Oh, goody.
See, in my mind, it is as hokey as they come.
Okay.
It's just so over-the-top sappy.
So can we please have a hokey, heartbreaking song off?
Yes.
Okay, great. I'll get mine ready.
Because yours is the Reba?
No, that one's amazing, but mine's me and Little Andy.
You're going Dolly.
Can I have some candy? Because she doesn't have anywhere to go. She's a little kid.
Jackie's Throwback Thursday.
Good morning. So, good morning. Say good morning back.
Good morning.
I need to know I have a crowd here. Okay. So,
after this song, you might not. Sorry, Jackie.
Is this Jackie's Throwback Thursday or Mikey's Throwback Thursday?
After today, it might be Mikey's.
I can't wait to hear this.
Okay, pipe it for now because it's mine still. So with all of the attention Spirit and Led Zeppelin have been getting, I decided to dig a little deeper and see what Spirit was all about. And it turns out that they suck hard. So then I decided like, okay, maybe the individual band members have something good. And that's when I came across Jay Ferguson, who played percussion in Spirit.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. See? You see? Pipe it, Mikey. So anyways, he actually had a hit in 1978 and it
Thunder Island.
Yes! Thunder Island.
This is great.
Yes!
It's not a rock song, man. And it's a doesn't pop song. Matter.
And I heard you guys talking crap yesterday in the crossover that, Jackie's Throwback Thursday is going to suck. But guess what, Mikey? It doesn't.
No, it
so
does.
So here is Jay Ferguson.
Thunder Island.
Yes, Thunder Island on Jackie's Throwback Thursday. Suck it, Mikey!
No, this song sucks. Yeah, you're right.
It doesn't. So it is obviously Shark Week, and we're joined now by Krishna Thompson, who lost his leg in 2001 after a struggle with a bull shark in the Bahamas. Good morning, Krishna.
Good morning, L.A. How are you?
Well, first of all, how did this shark attack happen?
How did it happen? I'm still trying to figure that out. I was actually, first of all, I'm a member of the Shark Attack Survivors for Shark Conservation Working in Concert with the Pew Charitable Trust. And I'm just out in the water, doing my thing, treading water at that moment. And from the corner of my eye, I see a shark fin. So I tried to get out of his way. I don't want to deal with that shark. And before you know it, the next thing I feel its body swimming between my legs. And I feel its body graze my inner right knee. And it chomped down on my left leg. I heard it, the teeth go right onto the bones, and it towed me the opposite way of where I was trying to swim. And I just couldn't believe it. I was just shocked. And I said, I can't believe there's a shark on my leg. And then before you know it, it has me in the deep, and it pulls me down, and it's just shaking me like a rag doll. It felt like I was on a roller coaster. And I'm just trying not to get any water, get forced up my nose or mouth. And I just waited out, and when the shark stopped, it was time for me to do something because I could not hold my breath any longer. So I tried to imagine where the jaws were on my leg because it was dark down there. And I threw one punch. Nothing happened. So I had to do something more drastic. I took both of my hands, and I felt for its jaws, and I pried it open, and it worked. I had both of my hands. The shark was now 2 feet in front of me. I had a new burst of energy. I just felt like I was Muhammad Ali, and I just started giving it combinations all over its mouth, face, nose, and the shark just turned around and swam away.
Wow. Now, you're currently a motivational speaker and counselor for other amputees.
Correct, yes.
Okay, so if anybody wants to know more about you and your story, do you have a website or a blog they could go to?
Well, first of all, I am one of the faces of the New York Blood Center. So basically, I just help do blood drives. And the other thing that I do is I help conserve shark conservation. And if you want to know more about what the Shark Attack Survivors are doing, you can go to www.facebook.com facebook.com/sharkattacksurvivors. And one of the biggest things with the sharks is that they take 100 million, up to 100 million sharks are killed yearly just for their fins to make shark fin soup. So we're trying to combat that and make people aware of what's going on so that stops, because if you like seafood, you want sharks in the oceans, because the sharks keep everything in balance in the oceans. They kill and eat the sick and the weak fish and keeps everything healthy.
It seems almost a little counterintuitive that somebody who's been attacked by a shark and possibly almost killed would do so much for shark conservation. And you said there's a big group of people that do that. What's your thinking on that?
Well, you're asking me why I'm helping the shark?
Yeah. You would just think, you know, if this happened to me, it would be very hard, I think, for me to be involved with their conservation after something so devastating had happened to me.
What it is that, you know, I was in the shark's environment, and it, you know, it wasn't the shark's fault. It was probably my fault more than the shark, but that's where the sharks live, in the ocean. And this is more of a world, like an environmental thing to help save our oceans. And it's to save us as humans, too, because, you know, sharks keep everything healthy in the ocean. And if they aren't there, a lot of things will go wrong. For example, if you eat seafood, you'll probably get sick from eating something that wasn't, you know, some fish that's ill or sick. Mm. It just keeps everything healthy and in balance.
Well, Krishna,
that's why
thank
I
you.
Do it. It's more of a world, save the ocean, you know, help humans. Mm-hmm. You know, it's more along those lines. Because if you get rid of the sharks, a lot of the seafood that we now enjoy won't exist, because everything gets off balance and there probably won't be any shrimp. And then because there's no shrimp, the algae will increase. I mean, everything just gets messed up in the oceans, and that will have an effect on humans.
Well, Krishna, listen, thank you for sharing your story, and good luck with everything.
Thank you so much. Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.
5 seconds for $5.
Before we get to that, Gina could not have been more entertained in the last 5 minutes. Here's my impression of trying to get off the phone with Krishna.
You know, it's really more about seafood and keeping from eating sick shrimp. I really want you to know that you want to make sure the sharks are okay. God love him. Hey, man, he's a hero for still being alive and for doing, you know, this kind of thing. But you were having a rough time resetting.
I just needed to go. I just needed to get on with the thing.
I know.
Okay, this is 5 seconds for $5. We had a winner yesterday. Today, we are joined by Greg from Yucaipa. Good morning, Greg.
Morning, Mark.
What do you do for a living?
I'm an order selector for a grocery store chain. I work in a warehouse.
An order selector, what does that mean?
I pick up boxes of groceries that the stores order.
Oh, okay, and then deliver. Okay. And what do you make a year doing that?
I can't really say, but it's pretty good money.
Mm. Okay, nice. Mm-hmm. Well done. Wife and kids?
I've been married for 32 years, and I have 2 grown kids.
Wow, cool. Any grandkids?
Not yet.
Yeah, see? Almost
just
everybody.
Like you. Same
yeah, I'm begging for one. All right, Greg, you know how this works, right?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to ask you a question that is gettable. If you don't get it, then tomorrow is 5 seconds for $10. Are you ready for the question, Greg?
Ready.
What biblically named band followed their 2007 reunion tour with an album titled Live Over Europe 2000?
5, 4, 3, 2, got nothing.
That's not it.
It is Genesis.
Oh, I should have had that. I drew a blank.
Hey, well, listen, Greg, I appreciate you listening, and thank you so much for calling.
All right, thanks, Mark.
All right, so coming up, Skeeter's going to share a story that happened yesterday, and I'm so entertained by her. We all have our moments, and she'll share hers. And then maybe we'll get her favorite song as far as heartbreak tunes. That's next. This is Mark in the Morning. So in case you missed it, last night, Linda and I Facebook Live because we had to inflate this giant floating living room that I bought for the kids.
Which I am over now.
It was I've never sweated more. But the video is up on Mark in the Morning Facebook if you want to check it out. So prior to that, we, as you know, this floating living room was too big to inflate on the pier. So we had to do it in the yard. And then we needed rope to pull this island to the pier, which we've done successfully. So yesterday, one of Linda's errands was to go to the marine store and buy some rope.
Yes.
So after the show, she was standing outside and I went out there. Tell them what you told me.
I told you that there was no way that I was going to buy 200 yards of rope for $700. And that he had to figure something else out.
All right. So at that point, I said, Linda, I didn't say 200 yards. I said 200 feet. $700.
Yes.
And then, she said, I'm so embarrassed, I'm not going back.
No, I'm never going back in there again. Because I walk in there, and I'm looking at the rope, and I pick the cheapest one, and I say, okay, I need 200 yards. And he looks at me and he goes, 200 yards?
Two football fields?
And then he's like, are you sure you don't mean 200 feet? And I'm like, wait, which is more? So he goes, well, 200 yards is more. And I said, well, we need a lot. So just give me 200 yards.
So
he takes the whole spool off. I mean, it's huge. He takes it up to the counter. He rings it up. I look at how much it is, and I'm like, I'm sorry. I cannot purchase this. There's no way I can pay $700 for this. And I left.
So she tells me this story, and she says, I'm so embarrassed. I'm not going back. So I had to get in the car because we had to have the rope for this thing. So I drove down to the Marine store, and I just walked in, and the guy says, can I help you? I said, well, I need to apologize to you. My wife came in here.
You outed me. SOB.
Well, I made it okay. So
he would have never have known.
It would have been so funny if you slapped your money down and said, 200 yards of rope, please.
And I said, I need to apologize. My wife was in here, and she was going to buy 200 yards of rope, and then it was too much, and she left. She meant 200 feet. And so she's sorry, and I just need to get the 200. And he looked at me, and he said, I told her that was a lot of rope.
And the two guys kept, you know, eyeballing each other like, look at this crazy woman. She doesn't know what she's doing. And they were completely correct.
All right, so now after we did the biggest heartbreak song, and we revealed it was Bonnie Raitt, I Can't Make You Love Me, Linda said, no, it needs to be Christmas Shoes, and here is a little bit.
That's when you said saddest.
Saddest. Here's a little bit of Christmas Shoes.
It was almost Christmas time. There I stood in another line, trying to buy that last gift or two. Not really in the Christmas mood. Standing right in front of me was a little boy waiting anxiously.
Oh, no.
Pacing round like little boys do. And in his hands he held a pair of shoes. And his clothes were worn and old. He was dirty from head to toe. And when it came his time to pay, I couldn't believe what I heard him say. Sir, I wanna buy these shoes for my mama, please. It's Christmas Eve and these shoes are just her size. Could you hurry, sir?
Daddy says there's not much time. You see, she's been sick for
Stop
quite
laughing.
A while. Know these shoes will make her smile. And one or two look beautiful if Mama meets Jesus tonight.
Y'all are all going to hell.
So,
the first time I heard that song, I was sitting in front of Vaughn's about to go grocery shopping. I was crying so hard, I had to go home and regroup before I could do my shopping.
It's fantastic.
So, Mama's on her deathbed.
Yeah.
She's going to meet Jesus.
Going to meet Jesus. And so he's trying to buy some shoes. And I'll go to, he didn't have enough money. The kid didn't have enough money.
Of course he didn't.
So the guy singing bought them for him so Mama can get them shoes in time to go meet Jesus. Sweet baby Jesus.
Aww. Linda.
This is so horrible. Oh, my God.
Now, when we come back from business,
can I please stay so I can laugh at Gina's song?
Yes. Oh, you're going to crack up when you hear mine, Linda.
Oh, I'll probably sob at that one, too.
All right, earlier this morning I had a list of the biggest heartbreak songs, and number one was Bonnie Raitt's I Can't Make You Love Me. And so we've been having some fun with it. I just played Christmas Shoes, which is Linda's favorite.
Which is lovely. Yeah.
And Jackie, a listener, called up for Linda to tell her that they took that song and they made a Hallmark movie out of Christmas Shoes.
No.
And you know it's good.
Every year, Linda gets addicted to these Hallmark Christmas movies. She will sit on the couch for... She'll watch six in a day.
Yeah, they are good.
Wait, so they have a Hallmark movie and the whole thing takes place in a grocery store? or a Sears or wherever they are?
All right, so Gina has an offering of a heartbreak song, apparently Dolly Parton.
this is fantastic. So let me just give you a little setup. This is a Dolly Parton song called Me and Little Andy. And so just to set the stage here, it's a cold, stormy, blustery night. She hears a knock on the door, and she couldn't figure out who it is, so she opens it and sees a little girl in rags, and here's what happens.
Then I ask her to come in, and this is what she said. Ain't you got no gingerbread? Ain't you got no candy? Ain't you got an extra bed for me and little Andy? Got a cake, a baker's man. My mommy ran away again. And we was all alone and didn't know what else to do. I wonder if you'll ever stay with you.
I mean, come on!
Wow.
Aww. It's horrible.
Oh, my God.
Ain't you got no gingerbread?
The face that you just made while you were singing that line will haunt me for the rest of life. Oh, my God. That was just scary.
Thank you. Oh, God.
Now I'm going to have to go and listen to the rest of the song. Damn it.
It does not end well for she and little Andy.
All right. Rolling Stone magazine came out with a list of 20 great artists that just simply made a bad song. I've been giving you five each day. At this time, I have another five. I will warn you, Mikey will not be happy today, nor will he be happy tomorrow. Mm. All right, these are in no particular order. Bob Dylan made the list with Drifting Too Far From Shore.
Drifting too far from shore.
A piece of crap, apparently.
Bob has as many bad songs as he does good songs, honestly.
They can't all be tangled up in blue.
No.
What?
He said,
oh, now I get it.
Yeah.
Now, this next one, I had to really dig deep. I went to YouTube to get it. It wouldn't let me load it. Then I went to iTunes. iTunes doesn't have it. So I basically had to use a video from YouTube of somebody playing it on their record player.
Okay.
So the quality is really bad. But 20 artists that made a bad song. We are now joined by Joni Mitchell for Dancing Clown.
Don't you think I could be a baby in the woods? Just be filthy
That's not Joni.
Did they slow the speed of the record down?
Say again?
Is the record slow down?
That wasn't Joni Mitchell. Joni. I mean, I think she started it, but that's... Yeah.
Right. There's some...
Who's being featured on Dancing Clown?
Okay, thank you, Joni. Very nice.
That was horrible.
Okay, Mikey, this next one is Guns N' Roses.
Oh.
Make a pick.
Oh, man, You're Out to Get Me. Is that it? They're out to get me.
Wait, I'm sorry. While you're thinking, I'm pretty sure Dancing Clown is a duet between Joni Mitchell and Billy Idol.
Really?
That's what the internet is telling me.
Wow.
Used to Love Her?
No.
I don't know, man. Gene Irwin doesn't, they don't write bad songs.
Oh, well.
They apparently did.
Okay.
Guns N' Roses, My World.
Yeah, okay. This is the end of, I think Use Our Lies. Gene Irwin Lies, I believe. And it, yeah, I.
What year is this?
89.
So far, there's nothing to debate
but
on this
list.
But
in their defense, I believe that's a spoof because rap was getting really big at that point, and so I think it was a spoof song for GNR.
But are they the only ones who are in on the joke?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's do it. You might have to cut it.
I'd rather hear Christmas shoes.
We're in the middle of, from Rolling Stone magazine, 20 artists that made a bad song. Next on the list, Brian Wilson with Smart Girls.
Oh, wow.
I kind of like it now.
This is the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, wow. This is awful.
I feel like I'm in a fever dream.
Okay.
Wow.
This song makes me appreciate the Fat Boys more.
And even the boss is not impervious to the list. Bruce is listed for Real Man. So came up, lights went down, and when body was blowing down, I don't need no gun in my fist, babe. All I need is your sweet kiss to get me feeling like a
suck.
Hey, Mark, ready for me to piss off half of L.A.?
Absolutely.
Why does this song suck? It sounds like literally every other Bruce Springsteen song.
I agree. I completely agree.
Yeah. I originally thought it was Born in the USA redone with different words. Me and my girl, Saturday night, it's
a late movie on Channel 5. Yeah, I agree. It sounds like if I heard this on the radio, I'd just, that's Bruce.
That's E Street.
All right, coming up, 7:35, 6 reasons today doesn't suck. Gina, what's trending?
Wow.
Ain't you got no gingerbread? Ain't you got no kids?
It's going to be in my nightmares.
Oh, man. Sorry for all of it. Well, as we heard earlier today, Paul Simon might be hanging up his guitar and retiring.
Little guitar.
Yeah, little ukulele.
Will he be able to reach the hanging?
Oh, you guys are the worst. The Miss Teen USA pageant is doing away with the bikini portion of the competition. And here's what's trending in sports. The most medaled human being in existence is going to make some more Olympic history by winning the 200-meter butterfly at the Olympic trials in Omaha yesterday. Michael Phelps has qualified for his 5th Summer Games, a first for an American male swimmer. Coming up today, 6 reasons today doesn't suck, and... boy, wait till you hear that 4th reason. It is going to blow your mind. But first, Queen, this is Mark in the Morning.
So Gina was jokingly teasing the 4th reason today doesn't suck, and I looked. It couldn't be more perfect.
Oh, good.
For you to have chosen it. Okay. And now, not 3, not 4, not 5, 6 reasons today doesn't suck.
1.
Today is the 10th anniversary of the opening of the Cirque du Soleil Las Vegas Beatles show, Love. If the Beatles have a signature song, it probably would be All You Need Is Love. Paul McCartney had this to say about it.
All You Need Is Love is basically, I think, a simple message, but it's a good song. John sings it great, and I think it's affected a lot of people. And I still think the message is really true. I think that it is what people need still.
The delightfully Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, starring Gene Wilder, open on this date, June 30th, 1971.
Wait a minute. Must show you this. Lickable wallpaper for nursery walls. Lick an orange. It tastes like an orange. Lick a pineapple. It tastes like a pineapple. Go ahead. Try it.
Mmm, oh. I got a plum.
Grandpa, this banana's fantastic. It tastes so real.
Try some more. The strawberries taste like strawberries. The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
Snozzberries? Who ever heard of a snozzberry?
We are the music makers, and we are the dreamers of dreams.
Along with Jaws, that film is perfect. Mm-hmm.
Totally agree. My apologies to Mikey for distracting him. I had to say every line along with that.
And she acted it out. Your Veruca Salt's really good.
Thank you. Yeah. A snozzberry? Who's ever heard of a snozzberry?
3.
It was on this day back in 1992. The Metallica album is certified 5 times platinum. It was on this day in 1985, Yul Brynner leaves his role as the King of Siam after 4,600 Broadway performances.
Shall we dance on a bright cloud of music? Shall we fly?
And she's doing it against it.
Yeah,
I've done the King and I 3 times. I love this musical. It's very long, but it's a great show.
I never saw. I saw the movie. I never saw the play.
The movie's amazing. Did you like it?
Yeah. I did. You know, she's hot. She needs a banging, and who better than the king?
You know, glad you got that. So much out of it.
It was on this. Oh.
6.
It was on this day in 1953, the first Corvette, arguably the greatest American car ever built, rolls off the assembly line in Flint, Michigan.
Chevrolet introduces 1969.
Camaro.
Chevrolet introduces 1969.
Corvette.
Putting you first keeps us first. Chevrolet. 5.
For such a cool car, that was the dorkiest song I've ever heard.
Dude, whenever I go try to find content, like stuff like commercials, I always love the classics from the 50s and the 60s.
The greatest.
Baby hair.
It was on this day in 1976. Sarah Smile becomes the first gold single for Hall & Oates.
All alone with me. Waiting for the sunlight.
All right, now coming up at 7:50, Gina has apparently gotten an email, and I can't wait to hear it. She teased it a little bit. I don't know exactly what it says, but I've got a feeling that she and probably all of us take a hit in this letter.
Oh, no, it's just me.
Look, Bullwinkle, a message in a bottle.
Fan mail from some flounder?
No, this is what I really call a message.
Now, Gina apparently has received an email from a fan.
Yeah, here's the deal. So I'll just read it. Since the subject line, though, of this email says, quote, nerd fan of sci-fi voice, I think there's really one way to read this email. Hit it, Mikey. Hello, Gina.
I'm a big fan of the show since day one. I listen to Uncle Joe every day. I commute about 600 miles a week for work, and I listen every day. I want you to know that the voice you do for the Star Wars fan, I'm guessing it's supposed to be a teen wearing a retainer, is so annoying and unfunny. It sounds so irritating that I either must mute the volume or change the station when you do it. Please stop doing it. It is so irritating. I remember the first time I heard it because I thought it was so annoying. Mark was talking about a speech he made and how people were impressed. Anyway, I'm sure I'm not the only one who thinks this. Please keep my comment in mind, coming as constructive criticism from a loving place. Thank you very much, listener Tom. Oh, P.S.
This is the best part.
P.S. Please forward me a picture from your phone. I want one of the topless photos from when you lived in Greece. Thanks!
To which I responded sarcastically, so let me get this straight. You want me to know that something that makes other listeners and my coworkers laugh irritates you, and therefore I should stop doing it, and you're asking for a topless photo? This email's a gem. And then he was like, oh, thank you very much. Like, he got really excited about it. He went on to say that, by the way, he's been coaching Andy Chanley up on things he should stop doing, and that's been going really well, he says. So, yeah, Lister Tom is our new consultant.
Wow.
Got Andy to stop saying a bunch of things. Got me to stop doing this. Thank you, Tom, man.
No, sorry, Tom. Stephanie will be a part of this program for the entire run of the program. All right. Now, we've got the 4th of July coming up, and the 4th of July is the number one holiday for sales of what?
I'm going to say hot dogs.
Mikey.
Beer.
It is beer. Mm. According to Wallet Hub, which keeps track of consumer spending, Americans spend $1 billion on beer to wash down the 4th of July barbecue grub. But it's necessary to wash down the 150 million hot dogs we will consume, 700 million pounds of chicken, and 190 million pounds of beef.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's a lot of meat.
A lot of cow.
Wow. Now, you're obviously set for 4th of July. I'm trying to debate. All my friends are going camping, and I don't know if I want to go. I just got back from a trip in the woods for 2 days.
What kind of camping? We talking about laying on the ground in a tent?
Yeah, tents. The only reason I'm really tempted, obviously, because they're my best friends, but they rented a pontoon for one of the days. Just a lot of day drinking on a boat sounds super fun, but it seems like a schlep to get out there.
Do you even have a blow-up mattress that you put your sleeping bag on?
You're just supposed to have a blow-up mattress?
It just, look, I did a lot of camping as a Boy Scout. We would go every month. Rain, snow, sleet, didn't matter, we would go. The one thing that will change your life if you are sleeping on the ground is a blow-up mattress.
Oh, see, now I might reconsider.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea.
As Josh the Fleeganator puts it, that's a game changer. Because nothing sucks harder than laying on the ground where there's pebbles and rocks and tree roots.
No. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And a tent, you always wake up and there's like condensation on it and you feel like you're in a, never mind.
Yeah, blow up mattress. That's exactly where you need to go. She's going Hollywood. She's going Hollywood tonight. She's going Hollywood. She's going Hollywood tonight. She's going Hollywood. She's going Hollywood tonight. It's true that you may never ever have that chance again. So, who is the all time highest grossing actress?
Well, the first one that comes to mind, just because we'd heard about her huge amounts of money all through the late 80s and 90s, I'd have to say Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts is like third or fourth. Fourth.
Huh. Hmm.
Julia is worth $2.7
billion. Hmm. What? Mikey's saying things to me. It looks like he's... What are you doing?
Do they have to still be alive, or can they be dead?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
They have to be alive.
Well, she is alive.
How about the very statuesque Charlize Theron?
Didn't make the list.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How about...
Pick Jennifer.
Jennifer who?
Aniston.
Who?
Aniston.
Oh, Jennifer Aniston.
Not
I phoned a
list.
Friend.
Wait, okay.
So this
not
is,
the
they
list.
Have the most money, not what they make now, what they've
per
made
movie.
Accumulated their whole career.
What they're worth, what
okay.
they have made.
I
damn.
Got it.
All right.
Absolutely ooh. Stunning, gorgeous.
Oh, I don't have it.
Who'd you think it was?
Barbara Streisand.
Oh, well.
Because she has music and acting, so I thought maybe the combined total.
Mm-mm.
Okay. How about, I'm going to go with one of the younger ones. Scarlett Johansson?
Number one.
What?
Scarlett Johansson has starred in movies that have accumulated her more than $3 billion.
Really?
That makes Scarlett the all-time highest grossing actress. Her recent roles in The Jungle Book and Captain America pushed her ahead of Cameron Diaz, who is worth $3
billion.
Scarlett is also ahead of Hunger Games star Jennifer Lawrence, worth $2.3 billion, Julia Roberts, $2.7 billion, Emma Watson, $2.6 billion, primarily from Harry Potter.
Yeah.
However, Scarlett barely squeaks into the top 10 of the highest grossing actors. The first nine positions belong to a bunch of old guys, including Harrison Ford, $4.8 billion, Samuel L. Jackson, Morgan Freeman, Tom Hanks, and Robert Downey Jr.
Huh. And
I
then
would
you,
have,
yeah.
I would have never guessed that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of the young, hipper, hotter ones that you see everywhere. And then, of course, you think, why would... the number one most expensive actress not even break the top 10 of the males, but I don't think they've had parts written as well for them, you know, that they could, that would warrant that money, I think, until recently.
Well, see, the thing with Scarlett is obviously Jennifer...
Lawrence.
It's because of Hunger Games.
Right.
Because they had to pay her a boatload. But Scarlett doesn't have that.
Right.
She doesn't have that franchise type of thing where you can point at and go, that's where the money came
she's
from.
She's just been working consistently her entire life.
And I don't know if she has a line, a merchandise line, or maybe that's part of it.
Scarlett has been in the all those Avengers, though.
Oh, yeah, we missed those.
Yeah, those made a lot of money.
But they see there's so many stars in it, you wouldn't think she's not like... we have to pay her $1 billion because she's the star.
That's a really good point. Oh, I'm sorry. Breaking news. I forgot to tell you. I just remember because you said Avengers. Mark, on your recommendation, guess what movie I watched on the way to Mexico, and Tim watched it on the way back, and it is now one of my favorite movies of all time. And I couldn't be less interested in this genre.
Would it be Mad Max Fury Road?
It would not. I already love that movie.
Would it be Nightcrawler?
No, I love that movie as well.
Then I don't know.
New favorite movie of the year, Deadpool.
Oh,
yeah.
It
dude.
Was amazing.
I was after Linda to watch it. And somebody had told her, no, it's too gruesome for you. And I told her, it isn't. You're going to adore the humor in it.
Yep.
And she was on an airplane and she looked at me and she said, I'm really nervous to do this. She pushed play after 5 minutes. She took out her earbuds and said, this is awesome.
It's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. And let's just put it this way. The first 30 seconds of the opening credits are so brilliant. If you don't keep watching, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, look, this movie has it all. It's hysterical. It is, the action is incredible.
Yeah.
And then there's even a little heartstring tug there at the end.
Yeah.
So if you're one of those people that for some reason did not see Deadpool, even if you don't like comic book heroes, this movie is for everybody.
Couldn't agree more. Didn't know anything about Deadpool. Didn't know why they called him Deadpool. It's great.
And I also love the fact that before the movie came out, it took Ryan Reynolds a decade to get this movie made. And he said before the movie came out, like the day before, my entire career rests on this movie. I don't need to tell you, they're working on the sequel right now, and good luck to you, man.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat.
Was baseball.
So, Todd, both the Dodgers and the Angels find a way to lose.
Yeah, the Brewers beat the Dodgers 7-0 last night. So now the Dodgers looking ahead. They're cautiously optimistic that Clayton Kershaw will pitch tomorrow. He, of course, sent back to Los Angeles to have his back examined. And it's a broken record summer for the Angels, Mark. 10-4, they lose to the Astros.
Wow.
Oh my! Now listen to this. The Angels right now have a .405 winning percentage. If that holds up, for the rest of the season, it will be the worst season in franchise history. The previous worst season, 1980, when their winning percentage was .406. Mikey, what year were you born in?
76. I don't remember it, but I feel the pain from it.
Yeah, so this is the worst Angels team that you've really witnessed in your lifetime. And, you know, Mike Socia has been manager for 17 seasons, and this is obviously the worst one that he's had to deal with. But I'll tell you something, one thing. The Angels sure are thankful of the Reds, the Braves, and the Twins, because those are the three teams with worst records right now, you know. And, Mark, speaking of the Braves, their flagship station is WTBS. What does WTBS stand for?
Whoa, those Braves suck.
You know, it's Mark, it's just like Abbott and Costello. I serve you up the fastballs, okay? Hey, Cleveland won last night. They won their 12th game in a row. And retiring David Ortiz, Big Poppy says he won't play in the home run derby. Now to the NFL. And when it comes to signing the richest contract in NFL history, it's all about luck.
Wow.
Andrew Luck. That's good writing. The Colts sign Andrew Luck, six-year, $140 million deal. 6 years, $140, and $87 million of that is guaranteed. Another NFL quarterback is, well, used to be anyway, Johnny Manziel. A source close to Johnny Manziel says Johnny is serious about getting sober with a self-imposed deadline of July 1st. Now, tomorrow is July 1st. So if anybody sees Johnny Manziel tonight, stay clear, okay? He's going sober tomorrow, and he's going to be having one heck of a party tonight. You want to stay clear of that guy.
Hey,
know?
Todd, speaking of staying clear, apparently he was in Cabo last week when we were. So we could have partied with him, but we didn't see him.
I saw pictures of it on the internet. You know, that was something else. Hey, the free agency begins tonight at midnight in the NBA. Kevin Durant, by the way, is going to meet with the Oklahoma City Thunder first, then the Warriors, and Joakim Noah's favored to go to the Knicks. And Gina, you already trended this earlier today, but Michael Phelps qualified for his fifth Olympic Games. Of course, he has 22 Olympic medals, most of anybody, but he won the 200-meter butterfly yesterday to qualify for the Olympics. And you guys playing all those heartbreak songs today, all those sad songs. You know what I'm going to do the rest of the day? I'm going to just sit down in a dark room and cuddle up with a bottle of scotch. So anyway, that does it for sports. Brought to you by Frontier Toyota in beautiful Valencia. Go check them out. Don't forget, the 4th of July savings are going on right now. FrontierToyota.com.
So the topic on the table, what do you do for a living and how much do you make? Brian, tell everybody what you do for a living.
I'm a longshoreman in the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach.
Now, I've always heard of a longshore. What exactly does a longshoreman do?
Well, our jurisdiction is any cargo that comes in the port that needs to be unloaded is longshoreman jurisdiction.
Okay. Now, how long you been doing that?
I was a part-timer from 98 to 2003. In 2003, I got it in the union, and I got my A-book in 2005.
All right. What does a longshoreman make?
The average longshoreman makes, if they work 5 days a week, anywhere from $70,000 to $90,000 a year. If they want to work 7 days a week, then it'll bump them up to maybe like $110,000, $115,000.
Damn.
Wow.
Unloading. You know, it's a dangerous job. We lose at least two people a year up and down the West Coast.
Oh,
wow.
Lord.
Thank you, Brian. Let's go to RJ. RJ, what do you do for a living?
Well, Mark, I work for the sweetest company in the world.
Which is?
The Hershey Company.
And what exactly do you do for them?
I work part-time in sales, and I call on the convenience stores like your 7-Elevens, Circle K's, and Chevron's, and I sell chocolate.
So, what does chocolate sales net you a year?
Well, this is a part-time retirement job for me. I work 20 hours a week, and I make a whopping $20,000 a year.
All right.
Yeah, but you got a lot of chocolate. RJ, thank you for calling and listening. So, what is your job? What do you do for a living, and how much do you make? 888-696-1003. The topic we have going, what do you do for a living and how much do you make? Now, what have I been saying as far as work to the younger ones? Get a skill.
Right.
The stat that I read, I had to reread it. 80% of people that graduate from college have to move back in with mom and dad because there's no jobs. I've always said, get a skill. I'm intrigued in this one. Let's go to Ryan. Ryan, tell everybody what you do for a living.
Hey, Mark. How's it going?
Doing good. How are you?
Just another day, another dollar, right?
So what is it you...
I am a glorified burglar.
A glorified burglar?
Yeah.
Explain.
I am a locksmith in Orange County, California.
Now,
I was always taught to work as hard as you can, and then you die. Well,
it's a good philosophy.
Basically, I go to work every day and it doesn't feel like work. I severely enjoy my job, and I work as hard as I can to help other people protect their stuff.
Now, when somebody calls you to do locksmith work, how quickly can you get to them?
It depends on where I'm at, and depends on how the traffic is in L.A.
All right, so I've called a locksmith lots of times. Tell everybody what you make as a locksmith.
That's really hard to gauge because it depends on what you can do as far as your skill set. I'd say entry anywhere from 25 to 30, but if you can crack a safe with your hand and you can, you know, do high class, like high security locks.
You get everything in the Bellagio.
You're like maybe anywhere from like 30 to 80,000 a year.
Wow.
Well, I loved it. This reminded me when he talked about opening a safe. Harry Houdini, the great magician, was on trial, and I forget what for. But the judge brought a safe into the courtroom, and he said, Mr. Houdini, please unlock that safe. And Houdini said, I'll do you one better. Lock me in the safe, and I'll get out, which he did. And so one of his friends was telling him that was really impressive, and he said, I tricked him. The only way that I could have unlocked the safe was from the inside. I couldn't have done it from outside.
Oh, my God.
All right, now this, Tim, are you insane?
You talking to me?
Yeah.
Am I insane? You have to be insane to do what I do for a living.
Tell everybody what you do for a living, Tim.
I build high-voltage power lines. We work all the way up to 500,000 volts.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Now... This has got to be one of the most dangerous jobs. Have you ever been blasted with an electrical shock?
Well, if I was, I wouldn't be talking to you. It's the second most dangerous job in the world. First one's coal miners. Third, scrap fishermen, coal miners, and then that.
Wow.
I've been electrocuted twice, fallen off a pole once from 30 feet, been hit by lightning twice. I love my job.
I would have to think, Tim, that safety is the number one concern when you're up there working with these high voltage power lines.
That's correct. There's no second chances. You follow your procedures and you depend on your partner. We always have to have a partner. And we both count on each other to watch our backs to make sure we go home to see our family.
All right, Tim, what does a high voltage power line worker make?
As a high school graduate, the high voltage power journeyman lineman makes roughly $200,000 a year.
Damn.
Oh my God!
Up to $350,000, and depends how much you want to work.
Wow.
Well, that seems to be appropriate, seeing as how dangerous the job is. You can make up to $350,000 doing that.
Now,
yeah,
Tim,
go ahead.
I know that you probably don't do this anymore, but as a kid, when the electric guy would come, this was when the poles that were in the ground is where the electrical lines were. Well, these guys had these spikes on the inside of their shoes, and they would jam that spike into the pole and climb up it that way. You don't do that anymore, right, Tim?
Oh, yes. Yes, we do. We have to get to the pole in the backyard. If you see houses with poles in their backyard, you got to get up them somehow, and there ain't no ladder high enough. So they're called gaffs. You strap them to your leg, and you just as long as you go up the same way, as long as you don't come down the same way you went up, which is head first.
All right, let's go and see what the vice president of a guitar company makes. Good morning, Brian.
Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Really good. So you're in the business of guitars.
Yes. We do everything, manufacturing and marketing and sales and promotion and artist relations. A little bit
so
of everything.
You're an executive and you wear a suit, right?
No, I do not. I'm wearing shorts and a T-shirt.
Yeah, you are.
All right. What does the vice president of a guitar company make?
You might be shocked. It's actually just a little over $80,000 a year.
Huh.
So you're not on the bonus plan?
Not really, no. Not quite yet. We're still, we're still actually bringing this particular brand back into the public eye, and we'll see how things work out after that.
Well, dude, thank you for listening, and thank you for calling. Okay, let's go talk to a retired correctional officer. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning.
So how long you been retired?
3 years.
Now, what exactly does a correctional officer do?
Probably everything you see on TV and movies, except the random beatings and ridiculous things like that.
All right. What does a correctional officer pull down?
I'm retired, so I make around $72,000 a year.
That's nothing to sneeze at, Danny.
No, sir.
At what point, because I'm assuming, after showing up to work every day, you weren't afraid of your job. At what point did you say, I can do this, I can go to work every day and not have a horrible stomach ache in fear of something terrible happening to me?
About 3 months into it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It took a little bit. It's a different environment.
I bet.
Well, Danny, enjoy retirement, my friend.
Thanks, sir.
All right. Still coming up. If you would like to share with us what you do for a living and how much you make, dial 888-696-1003. We still have yet to go a technical recruiter. I don't know what that is. A preschool teacher. I'm dying to find out what they make. And an inventor.
Oh.
Yeah. So we'll do that shortly. Jeter!
Yep.
Trending!
All right. A pre-scheduled drill at Andrews Air Force Base in Maryland this morning prompted a lockdown after someone saw the armed drill and called the authorities. That's what law enforcement is just saying. The lockdown has been lifted. So they didn't know what was going on. They said everyone was on lockdown. It was a drill. Somebody saw it and it freaked them out. So the lockdown is lifted. In the wake of the terrorist attack in Istanbul, travelers can expect longer than average wait times at airports throughout the United States for 4th of July weekend. And meanwhile, the latest CBS News poll released this month shows that percent of American households owning guns is at a near 40-year low. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, what do you do for a living, and how much do you make? But first, the Stones. This is Mark in the Morning.
Stones, man. Stones. What do you do, and how much do you make? Who's in the mood to talk to an inventor?
Me.
Good morning, Eugene.
Hi, Mark. It's Eugene. Wait, Gina, I want to say hi to you, right? I don't have a retainer. I just stick my fingers in my mouth. Hi, Gina.
Hi, Eugene. Nice to talk to you.
I love you, Gina. I'm a millionaire. We should get together and you can dump your boyfriend.
Mark, I'm scared.
Yeah, it's getting weird in here. So, Eugene, you're an inventor.
Yes, I am.
Have you invented anything that we would know?
Maybe, yes.
What would it be?
Okay, this voice is driving me nuts.
Thank you. I was worried that was way you actually were.
I can't keep doing that.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, I'll tell you what I did in the last 7 years.
All right.
Okay, yeah, 7 years ago, I designed a calendar, and I sold it to a leading calendar company, the idea for... They wanted to pay me $3.7 million, and I wanted $5.1 million, so I took $5 million.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, I could invent a calendar. What does yours do that's worth $5 million?
I can't tell you yet because it's still in the works. Can you believe that? 7 years later, they're sitting on it?
Wow.
All right, so you are, you work for yourself, you sit around, yeah. And you invent stuff, and then you sell it to companies.
Yeah, well, I actually have a full-time job, too. I work for a telecommunications company in high-risk areas. And that job I pulled down on about 2.5.
2.5 what?
2.5 hundred thousand.
$250,000.
Damn. Eugene, here's my question. You got paid. You got paid $5 million for an invention. Why do you have a job?
Because I get bored, and I have to do stuff to spark my inventive qualities. I go out and I'm working, and I see something. I go, oh, I can make that better. Oh, I can make something that, you know, people can use. Years ago, I invented, this is still in the works too, I invented a quote-unquote machine that will be of assistance to pregnant ladies during their pregnancy, and I sold that for $29.8 million.
Oh, wait. My God.
Stop. Are you lying?
No.
You invented something that helps pregnant women for just under $30 million?
Yep.
I would like $3 million, please.
Eugene, what do you think of the show Shark Tank?
It's kind of weird because a lot of the... I wanted to do that like 5 years ago, but I was advised against it, and I'm glad because you can, if you really watch it, you can see deeper into it that a majority of the people that they get spread too thin too fast and they fail. They need more help. Mm-hmm. And the people, the billionaires that are helping them don't have, they either don't want to invest anymore or they just don't have the facilities to help them the way they need help.
All right. Now, Eugene, I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this, but do you yourself approach the companies when you've got an invention, or do you have an attorney or an agent that represents you?
Two of the first and one of the second.
Two of the
Sometimes
first and one
I
of the
go.
Second. And what percentage do you have to pay them to rep you?
The law side, 35%, and the agent, 25%.
Oh, my God.
I'm still doing pretty good. I'm helping people out. Yeah.
Well, Eugene, this is crazy interesting. Why does a guy who's worth probably $100 million listen to this crap?
Because I love your show. You know, I was listening yesterday, and the guy that was in the service that was over there in 2004, he's right. You guys do it for people like him and people like me. I've been there, done that, and... You know, over there, it's crazy bad over there at times, and it's just not something that you want to remember. You know, you're forced to remember it sometimes, but if you're, I was kind of safe and stealthy, but you know, that's a whole nother thing. But,
well, Eugene,
I got a couple of foundations. I help homeless people and trying to help. Just people that need help. You know, I don't run around and hand cash out or anything like that. The people that I kind of have a feeling that they really don't need it. The people that need it, you can tell.
Mm. Eugene, I don't think we could have enjoyed your conversation more. Thank you for what you did, and thank you for what you're currently doing.
Thanks, Eugene.
Keep doing what you're doing, Gina, because I love you still.
That sounds good.
Gina, you're sitting here playing with a guy that's worth $100 million.
I love it. That was great.
Eugene, thank you for the call. We still have yet to go a technical recruiter, a special effects teacher, a preschool teacher, and a CFO for a healthcare company.
Ooh.
I bet that money's nuts. So the topic is, what do you do for a living and how much do you make? I requested a porn star. We have one. His name is Barry.
Oh.
Good morning, Barry.
Good morning.
So you did porn?
I did a few.
Now, why did you stop?
I stopped because I was in school at the time. And it was a spur of the moment type of thing where there was a traveling porn company. I was in my fraternity house. They kind of crashed the party, and they offered me $1,500, and I said, "Sure, why not?"
So were you in a video?
I was. Didn't have my full face. They wanted some POV stuff, and I was totally cool with that because because I didn't want to get kicked out of school or anything.
Right.
All right. So in the porn that you did you do pretty much everything?
Yes, I did. It was really awkward because I had to hold the camera on my chin. So unfortunately, I didn't get to really see much.
Wait, you were also the cinematographer?
Well, that's what you have to do for point of view stuff. It's really awkward.
Okay.
So about how long were you in it?
The first shoot, I was in for about a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. And they had to reshoot, clean me up and whatnot.
Oh.
All right, so you made $1,500 every time you did it.
I made $1,500 the first time, and I did it two more times. I thought I would make more, but the females are the ones that make the bank. Those
right.
are the ones who are selling the videos.
Yeah, they're working harder, in my opinion.
They're putting in a full day.
Thank you,
Barry. Thank you for the call. Okay, good. Let's go to Steve. Steve is a funeral director. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Now,
hey, good morning. I'm at the Jordan.
Oh my God, he's at drive-thru.
Oh, you're at a drive-thru, Steve?
Yeah, I just got in. Hang on.
Well, let's stop the show.
Let's do a fastest food. See how long it takes.
So
no, we're
Steve,
not going to do that.
So, Steve, what does a funeral director make?
Well, it depends how long you've been in the business. Usually you would think that it's commensurate to your experience, but most funeral directors make less than $40,000 a year.
Oh, wow.
Now, Steve, I've been through it. I remember sitting there setting up my father's funeral, and I was aware that I was being sold, trying to sell me the bigger, better casket, the bigger, better concrete thing. That's part of your job, is to sell stuff, isn't it?
Well, it's my job to make sure that the family's needs are met.
Okay, but you are still selling stuff.
I offer things for sale, and if they decide they want them, then they get them. If they don't, I don't push it.
Do you ask their budget to begin with, so you kind of know what range they're looking for?
I do personally ask for a budget.
Yeah, makes it
easy. You know, what they want to spend on their casket, what they plan on spending, and most families have a pretty good idea how much it's going to cost in the first place because they may have done it before.
And if you sell somebody, say, you know, a middle of the road casket, do you get a commission on the casket?
Where I work, yes. They offer a commission, but not all funeral homes offer commission to the funeral arranger. So I make 5% on a casket over $1,000.
All right. So you're making about 40 a year.
Correct.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate you calling. Let's go to William. He's a special effects teacher.
Ooh.
Now, William, what exactly does that mean?
Well, I actually kind of have a pretty awesome job. I work at a vocational nonprofit school for individuals on the autism spectrum. And our goal is to give each of our students customized instruction and hands-on experience in the industry to earn a living in fields like multimedia, computer animation, and post-production. So we actually work with major studios, Marvel, Nickelodeon, etc., Cartoon Network, on projects. We worked with HBO for like Game of Thrones, yada, 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 where our students and students that graduate from our program actually have work experience. And, you know, we can give them the skills, the vocational and behavioral training to get them to be independent and move away from their parents and actually have a life.
That is very, very cool of you. What do you make doing that?
I net a little over 20 in a year.
That's not enough.
How much did you say, 20?
Yeah, 20. We need you to make more. You're doing good stuff.
The board of directors, my fellow staff, my students and the families of my students are probably the coolest people I've ever met in my life. I'm so thankful that I get to go into work every morning and be a part of such an awesome organization. So that's payment enough.
Wow.
You're lucky and a good man, William. Thank you so much for the call. Okay, our last one of what do you do for a living and how much do you make? Jared is the CFO for a healthcare company. Now, my guess, let's guess. Right. Jared, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, we're going to guess on your money. I'm going to say $150,000. Gina?
I'm going $1 million.
Wow. All right, so Jared, you're the guy in charge of this healthcare company, right?
That's correct.
All right. And are you college educated?
Yes, I am. I have a master's in taxation.
Wow.
I'm a CPA. Smart,
dude. Yeah. Oh, God. So you sit behind the desk all day and do paperwork?
I sit behind the desk all day and listen to the sound.
Oh, nice. I like it. $1.5 million.
Now,
no,
Jared.
No, Gene, I wished I was. Gina, Jared, I love you.
Oh. Jared, what does a CFO for a healthcare company make a year?
I pull in three.
$300,000?
Yes.
Very respectable.
It is, but he's got a master's degree. And do you have to wear a suit?
It's business casual.
So
I have 2,500 employees.
Oh, wow. So polo and khakis?
No, you know, dress pants and a shirt, but no tie.
Wait, that's casual? You should see what I'm wearing right now. I'm wearing a
Did you show Mark my Denver Bronco tattoo?
This is Mark. We love him. This is the man we're talking to right now. He is a P1 awesome listener. I have not showed him yet, but he will be pissed off, and I don't want to start that mood with him in the morning. He has a big old Broncos tattoo on his arm.
Well, Jared, I hope to meet you one day.
Mark, can I tell you something? First of all,
please.
Danny, stop drinking cheap beer. Life's too short. Mark, my son is an attorney in Chicago. My daughter designs costumes for movies and TV things. They got through everything. We had a really tough life because we listened to you on the way to school every morning.
I do apologize for everything I must have said.
Yeah.
Jared, I enjoyed the time, and I hope to meet you one day.
Thank you. Oh, you've met me several times.
You love him.
Okay, I love you, Jared.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
All right, so I mentioned this earlier. According to a new study, more than 58% of kids ages 2 to 5 have no trouble playing a basic video game, but are found to have issues riding a bike and preparing a meal in the morning for themselves.
Oy.
AVG Technologies, who conducted the research, also found that more children, 25%, know how to open a web browser, but they can't swim.
That's horrible. Dude, can't be true. Is that true?
It's right here on paper.
White paper, black words.
I mean, come on. It came from the internet.
Mark, think about your Huck Finn, Tom Sawyer childhood. Could you imagine not knowing how to swim or not knowing how to ride a bike?
No. Just a quick story, and I know I got to get out. But one time, because all my kids, they had computers and video, all that. And one day, we lost power in the middle of the day. It went out, and it was out for like 8 hours. As soon as it went out, all my kids started crawling out of their rooms like, what's going on? I don't have any internet. Where was going to? We wound up in the front yard playing football as a family, playing another family from the neighborhood.
Oh, wow.
We had the best. And it just goes to show you, when you take away all that social media, good stuff can be had. So before we get into trending, we want to welcome into the room Miss Jennifer Tilly. Good morning, Jennifer.
Oh, hi, Mark. It's really good to see you again. It's really good to be here. Everybody looks so good.
I see you brought your boobs with you.
Oh, you are such a card.
Now, Jennifer, do you know why you're here?
I do. I actually just wanted to stop by. I was just in the neighborhood, and I got an email. I think it was supposed to go to the sound, but for some reason it went to me. Listener Donovan is having a birthday today, and he wanted me to sing him a little happy birthday, so I thought I'd stop by and do that, if that's okay with you.
Jennifer, it's really great with me, and make it extra sexy if you would. Now, Jennifer Tilly with the happy birthday song.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Donovan. Happy birthday to you.
Yes, Jennifer, great job.
Happy birthday, Donovan. We love you.
So good to see you, Jennifer.
Bye.
Now, jump up and down as you walk out.
Okay.
Oh, she did it. Wow.
Let's find out what's trending. Here's Gina Grant.
That kind of hurt, Jennifer. A little bit painful in the chest area. All right, so this is crazy. British YouTuber Kayla McSwiggin was charged in L.A. yesterday with filing a false police report after claiming he had been beaten outside a gay club, a nightclub. So here's what happened. He was arrested by L.A. County Sheriff's deputies after he was seen allegedly vandalizing a parked car. At the jail, officials said they observed McSwiggin, quote, injuring himself with the handle and receiver of a payphone inside the cell, basically hitting himself with it, after which he was taken to a local hospital. He faces a maximum of 364 days in jail if convicted in this case, which remains under investigation. So he promoted on, you know, on social media and everything that he was a victim of a hate crime. And wow. It turns out they saw him beating himself with a phone receiver in jail.
Wow.
Very, very strange.
I liked his name, though. McSwiggin. It's like a miniature swig.
Yeah,
like
Kayla McSwiggin. Yeah. So everybody knows the new Ghostbusters movie's coming out. And because of that, it's premiering in 2 weeks, actually. You'd think that the core cast members have been fitted for their evening wear and all the alterations have been made. Well, that's not true for comedian Leslie Jones. You might know her from Saturday Night Live and the movie Top 5. And really great, really funny. She plays one of the four Ghostbusters. According to her personal Twitter account, no designer wanted to dress Jones for the Ghostbusters premiere. This is, of course, highlighting a frustrating problem for celebs who aren't a size 2. She's a full-size woman, a normal, whatever you want to call it. She's not a size 2. So former Project Runway winner Christian Siriano, he told in an email, he said, I would love Leslie. I love her. I can't wait to make her something fabulous to wear. I dress and support women of all ages and sizes, because he tweeted her and was like, hey, Leslie, I'd love to make something for you. He went on to say, my mission now is what we're calling that every woman. You can be any size, any age, and wear something from our collection, and that is so important to me. Now, this is interesting because Melissa McCarthy, who's also in Ghostbusters, she had this problem when she was up for an Oscar in 2012. What? Nobody would design anything for her.
This is insane.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm hearing this in 2016.
Isn't it crazy? And it just makes you think, if you're a designer that's worth your salt and worth your money, and you can't, oh, I'm sorry, you're not a sample size, so I don't know how to do it. Well, then you shouldn't be a designer if you can't design for another body type.
All of you suck.
So Leslie is going to get a gorgeous dress, and it's going to be done by Christian Siriano, and I'm sure she's going to look great. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. This is Mark in the Morning, and this is Boston.
Wraps it for this Thursday, yet Uncle Joe beaming with his 10 at 10.
I am a beam of light, aren't I? Yeah, from the dark side. Here's the deal. 10 at 10 today. We're going to be featuring the year the Joshua Tree album came out, the year Spaceballs was in the theaters, and the Whittier Narrows quake took place. Gina was in bed when that was happening.
I only know this by Spaceballs. 87?
Unbelievable.
She's on fire.
On fire today. 1987 is the year we're featuring today.
It's Mark's favorite movie.
10 to 10. Is it now?
Yeah, he loves it.
Because it has balls in the title.
Tomorrow, we have a firework frenzy, a 4th of July frenzy. We're going to officially declare 4th of July to be enjoyed by launching some fireworks. But there's nothing more important tomorrow than the fact that Gina Grad is going to lick a cat.
Yep.
We'll explain.
Wow. That was some vacation you had, wasn't it?
Mikey, your turn.
I need a watchtower. And man, I need to be all along it.
Oh God.
Jimi Hendrix, Mark in the Morning.
Oh, sure, podcasting is great. But have you heard about this new invention that puts Mark in the Morning directly in your car each weekday morning? Yeah, it's called FM radio. And you'll find Mark in the Morning there on 100.3 FM in Southern California. Thanks for listening.